closing the deal at the last minute.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The long-standing back and forth between Russia's gas giant Gazprom and Belarus has ended. The two parties signed an agreement just hours before their deadline. From Budapest, Stefan Bos reports.
After days of heated debate, it seems that Belarus and Russia will keep Europe warm this winter after signing a five-year contract for gas supplies. Belarus has reluctantly agreed to pay more than double the price it paid for gas in 2006. In 2007, Belarus will pay $100 per 1,000 cubic meters of Russian gas, up from $46 last year. Russia had threatened to cut off supplies to Belarus if no deal was reached. In retaliation, Belarus planned to interrupt Russian gas supplies to the rest of Europe. Despite the agreement, Belarus's autocratic president Alexander Lukashenko isn't a happy man.
Когда нам поднимают в два, а потом еще в два или в три уже раза предлагают сегодня...
He says Russia already rose prices in the past, and then they say we have to be happy? It's blackmail. Robert Legvold, the Russia expert at Columbia University, says the tensions show that Moscow is not so committed to President Lukashenko.
I don't think it means that they're about to begin forcing Lukashenko to transform the situation politically within Belarus. But I think it's a clear signal that they have their own separate interests and they're not about to simply give him large gifts because they want to be close.
And concern remains in Europe over the long-time future of Russian gas supplies. In Budapest, I am Stefan Bos for Marketplace.
The incoming Democratic majority in Congress is promising to change trade policy to better protect American jobs. But Republicans warn the result will block the free flow of trade and harm the economy. From Washington, John Dimsdale reports these competing philosophies will be on vivid display this year.
Democrats made election gains in regions that have lost manufacturing jobs overseas. Their agenda includes slapping trade barriers on China to punish it for flooding the U.S. with artificially cheap products, and requiring trade partners to bring their labor and environmental standards in line with those in the U.S. South Carolina Democratic Representative John Spratt says even existing trade agreements will get scrutiny.
We'll look back at some of these other free trade agreements which have held the promise of expanded exports for the United States, but never seem to have achieved their promise. So I think they'll get a much more stern review in our Congress.
But Republicans in the White House warn the Democrats' agenda will threaten trade, which accounts for 10% of the U.S. economy and a sixth of all manufacturing jobs. To expand that trade, the president will be asking Congress to renew his fast-track negotiating authority, which expires in July. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court says federal judges should have bigger paychecks. In his second annual report, Justice John Roberts says pay for federal judges is so bad it threatens to undermine the judiciary's independence. Roberts says full-time U.S. district judges are paid only half of what deans and senior law professors at top schools receive. He believes this issue has reached the level of a constitutional crisis. The market is closed today for the New Year's holiday, and the New York Stock Exchange joined NASDAQ in deciding to close Tuesday to honor the late President Gerald Ford. This is Marketplace. Time to open up the Marketplace vault and take a peek at this week in the history of business. And today we find, looks like an old cable TV box and a look at a television revolution.
This week, back in 1951, television first dipped its toe into the world of pay-per-view. The Zenith Radio Corporation selected 300 families and sent several movies over the airwaves with scrambled signals. Participants could call in to decode the films. The selection included Homecoming with Clark Gable and Lana Turner and Welcome Stranger starring Bing Crosby. Each movie cost a dollar. During the four-week trial, families ordered 2,600 films. But pay-per-view didn't really take off until the 60s, when cable started to become more popular. Cable companies still offer pay-per-view movies, but these days the service is usually the turf of major sports events. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. There are 13,000 taxis cruising the streets of New York City. In December, the price of a ride went up after a higher idling charge was approved. A new car service is hoping to take away some business from the taxis, even though it's charging more money. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli explores why some people are willing to fork over the extra cash.
When you think of the streets of New York City, you think traffic. That means noise, of course, and pollution.
In New York City, 1 in 8 children have asthma.
That's Rue Rogers, the founder of a year-old environmentally friendly car service called Ozocar.
The average Lincoln Town Car, or Crown Vic, that yellow cabs drive, do between 8 and 11 miles per gallon.
Rogers drivers ride hip-to-be-green Toyota Priuses, and even on the unforgiving streets of New York, the cars get 40 to 45 miles a gallon. Now, to ride an Ozocar costs a bit more than your average car service and a lot more than a taxi ride. But if you want to get from point A to point B in New York, now you can do it with less guilt. Recently, Rogers and one of his drivers, Justin Gordon, gave me a lift to our New York bureau.
That screen there tells you whether the battery is operating the car or whether you're using the gas engine. Because even when you're using the gas engine, it charges the battery. The battery is basically always in use.
Not to mention the savings on gas. Around $2,000 a year to operate versus $7,200 a year for a stretch limo. But there's more to this car service than a hybrid ride in a virtuous vehicle.
We decided to put Wi-Fi in every car, an iBook in every car, and an AC power strip so you can plug and charge up. And so basically we turn the cars into mobile offices.
Or, if you prefer, a place to tune in Sirius satellite radio. The drivers of Ozocar's fleet of 75 vehicles are dispatched by BlackBerry, equipped with navigational features, and that makes Justin's life as a driver easier.
Say you're in Westchester. A customer wants to find a shopping center. We could just type it in, go to a shopping center, a restaurant, anything. It's perfect.
Perfect is how an aspiring screenwriter like Justin sees his job with all its downtime and perks.
The main reason why I work for this company, because I don't have to pay for my own computer and satellite and how it's done. I love them. I listen to that 24 hours a day. I have steady calls where I just sit there for like 6 hours and I'm on, I'm on the computer doing research and writing. So it's great. It's great for me.
So while one driver is working to get to Hollywood in the downtime between trips to the airport, his boss is hoping to take Ozocar on the road. Plans are to open branches in London, Washington, and Chicago. In New York, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
If you're grabbing cabs, you're probably someone who's often on the go. Well, you could take us with you because we're podcasting. You can find out more by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
There's an arms race of sorts